We're going to talk about this morning about walking with God. How many know that we can all have a closer walk with God? But it does take effort on our part, like everything. The Bible said to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say we have to work for our salvation, for salvation is by grace alone, through faith, and this is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, God knows us and He knows our hearts. If there was something that we could do to earn favor with Him or to get ourselves into heaven, we'd all be up there boasting. Oh, you want to know what I did? I did this for the Lord. God says, I'll have none of it. You're saved by faith, by grace, through faith. And that's it. But it says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. To work it out. But the next verse says, because it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. See, you don't have to do it on your own. That's what grace is all about. God gives us, when Paul complained about his thorn in the flesh, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, then I can boast in my weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Because he drew from the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to draw from the Lord constantly, acknowledge our dependence upon Him to be able to walk in a way that is righteous and pleasing to God. And that's what our ancestor Enoch did. And we're going to look at him today. So the title of the sermon is Walking with God. And Genesis 5:24 tells us that Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. It's a beautiful picture, I believe, of the rapture there, as well as Elijah in the chariots of fire. And we look forward to that day, whether we go home first or whether the Lord will change us in the twinkling of an eye and take us up to be with himself after the dead in Christ have risen first. Hallelujah. We also see in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, it talks a little more about Enoch. And it says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Are you earnestly seeking the Lord? We should be in these days. Now, obeying the commands of the God is not easy. So there are plenty of excuses. Amen. The Lord's commands are not practical, some people might say. And they are contrary to the flesh, that is, our sinful nature. Because we have a rebellious nature there. We were born with that because of Adam and Eve's sin, our first parents. And this is our struggle. And it doesn't come easy. People naturally delight in selfish behavior, but the Lord detests it. He wants us to humble ourselves. Consequently, many agree with the lazy servant in Matthew 25 and 24, who said, I didn't invest my talents because I knew you were a hard man. What did God call him? A wicked and lazy servant. Do we walk with God, or are we making excuses? The Old Testament is full of examples of those who walked with God in Hebrews chapter 11. It recalls these heroes, and among them is our friend Enoch this morning, who pleased God. We have a short account of his behavior in the world. It simply says that Enoch walked with God. But the implication is that he walked in a way that was very pleasing to God. He was in agreement with God. And then we have a short account of his entrance into the next world, which says, and then he was no more, for the Lord took him away. Our purpose this morning, however, is not to expound on the life of Enoch, but to examine on how we can live as he did, that is to say, walking with God in a way that is pleasing to him. And we'll be talking about four things this morning. And I want you to say them with me. Reconciliation. Submission. Communication. And progression. Very good. I'm saying that because we learn by reiteration, right? We learn by going over things. So, let us start out with reconciliation. But there's five principles of practical application that I want to talk about later on, and we'll do that at the end of the 4 points. But those I want you to repeat with me too. And the first one is reading and meditation. Say that with me. Reading and meditation. The second principle is private, fervent prayer. Say that with me. Private, fervent prayer. The third one is simply service. Say that with me. Service. The fourth one, or D, I go A, B, C, D, is obedience. And finally, the last one is fellowship. What a good church this morning. I'm impressed. And I hope that'll help you to stay with it. So let's start with reconciliation. Walking with God requires that a person be reconciled to God. That's what we call a prerequisite. Without reconciliation, we were at enmity with God. That we were God's enemies until God took the initiative to reconcile. That is to bring us back to himself. He reconciled us. God lived on this earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of rebellion against God, we deserve the penalty of death. But Jesus Christ took our penalty upon himself when he died on the cross. And we see in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he die for us, but he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And we just celebrated that a while back at Easter. And he ascended into heaven that he might dwell with us in spirit. And he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you another helper. That means one like me, a paraclete, one who will come alongside of you and will help you and to worship and glorify God and to live the Christian life. So he returns, he does this, sent his spirit until he returns to us to gather his people together into eternal fellowship with him. And we sing that hymn, oh, what a glorious day that will be. Amen. What the best is yet to come for us. You know, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Don't focus on all our troubles and what's going on. But what is unseen. But what is seen, this is temporary. This life is temporary. But what is unseen will last forever. Should we not be preparing for our eternal home? Walking with God, trying to please him, knowing that we will be living with him, worshiping him, and enjoying him forever. This is what the Westminster Catechism says. The purpose of man is to worship God and to enjoy him forever. What a glorious day that will be. And it will come to fruition in God's timing. So, if we believe in Christ turning away from our rebellion through repentance, and that's a military term, actually, it means about faith. We were walking this way away from God, and God wants us to come to repentance. Say, I agree with you, Lord. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I want to walk with you and not away from you. And we do in about face. Amen. So, this is what God does for us. And this will enable us to walk with God. We have now been reconciled to him through the blood of Jesus. And Romans 5:1, a beautiful scripture, says, Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's a legal term, you see, and that means we have been declared not guilty. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, that is the Holy Spirit, has set me free, hallelujah, from the law of sin and death. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who has reconciled us to himself. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God, my friends, is not like Burger King. You can't have it your way. Okay? It's God's way or the highway, as we say. But the Bible does say, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And that's what God wants to do. But he knows what's best for us. So number one, we need to be reconciled to God. Secondly, we need to be submissive to God. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee with you from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near unto you. Walking with God implies that we put aside our rebellion and our rebellious nature. All of us, like Adam, instinctively choose satisfaction of our desires over the direction that the Lord wants to take us. Amen? So, when God sought Adam in the garden, how come Adam didn't come running to God with open arms? Because his sin put a terrible hindrance, a terrible damper on his relationship with God. We can associate with Paul's words in Romans chapter 7. When we want to do good, evil is right there with us. You see, our sinful nature makes it difficult to do what is good and what is right and what God would have us to do. In Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18, it says, so I say live, or for today's purposes, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want, but you are under grace. You are not under the law. Even though we are bent towards not doing what's right and walking with the Spirit, God gives us grace to enable us to do so. You got that? Say amen. Thank you, church, for helping me out here. You see, sin's prevailing power has been broken by Christ. And John asserts that to us believers. He says, his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Because you are born again and God's Spirit is in you, you are an overcomer. Paul said in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Amen? Sin's power is broken as we yield and submit to the control of the Holy Spirit. Paul concluded in Romans 7, after saying the struggle that he had, I do not do what I want to do, but what I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a powerful message Paul gives us. So, we have number two, submission. Submit yourselves then to the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, and draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Number three, we have communication. Walking with God implies an abiding communion and fellowship with God, which results in bearing fruit. In John chapter 15, Verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man or a woman abides in me, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 5 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, proving or showing yourselves to be my disciples. And John also touched on this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He walked in the will of God in a life of righteousness that was pleasing to God. And this is what is meant in the passage, Enoch walked with God. His walk was pleasing to God, and he was in agreement with God. We need to be in agreement with God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the book of Ecclesiastes says, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? We need to be in agreement with God to walk with God. So, where am I? We are called to maintain a holy, settled, and constant communication and fellowship with God. You say, well, how can I do that? Of course your mind are on other things. We work and everything, but we always have this awareness. But Jesus said, never will I leave you nor forsake you. When I'm working, sometimes I lose something. I say, Lord, open my eyes. And before you know it, he shows me. Sometimes, you know, you're looking for your glasses. They're on your nose. We can get lost sometimes. But God's abiding presence with us is there to help us. That's what he meant by, I'll send you my spirit, another helper. And we need to have that constant awareness that God is with us. And when he says, never will I leave you, he means never. And you all have probably heard of the footprints in the sand. Sometimes when you feel, where are you, God? Don't ever doubt that God is with you continuously. And the only thing that can hinder that is sin. And sin puts that blockage or that hindrance in our relationship with God. So what do? Well, we need to keep short accounts. Take care of the business. You know, we have that acronym there in Acts. When you come to God, you start out with adoration, and then you come to confession. And you agree that, you know, we have fallen short. And then, ACT, thanksgiving. And then we bring our supplications to God. But we need to get things right for us. And Hebrews 12? Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, after he gives us the account of all these heroes of faith in chapter 11, he says, therefore, let us... since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay, so we have communication. We are called to maintain that holy, settled, constant communication and fellowship with God, and a determined, habitual dependence upon his power, his promise, and his presence. Number 3, communication. Number 4, we have progression. And if you're turning with your Bibles to me, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Now listen to this. If you ever think you have to go it alone, it says, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So it kind of leaves us without excuse, doesn't it? He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, that is through his own glory and goodness, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We can escape the corruption in the world and its evil desires by utilizing the power that God has given us. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. Walking with God indicates making progress in the divine life. Walking, by definition, supposes progressive motion. You're always in motion. You're moving, you're working towards something. And Peter exhorts us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we start out, Paul says that we're as baby Christians, we need milk. But then we grow up and we need the meat of the word to strengthen us and to help us to grow in our faith. And Peter exhorts us to do this, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. So we must be reconciled, we must be submissive, must be interacting, that is communicating, and active to progress in our walk with Christ. In practical terms, to keep up and maintain our walk with God, we must dedicate ourselves to those principles that we went through earlier. And the first one was what? Practical application in reading and meditating. Thank you. On the Word of God. When we sit at Jesus' feet and we listen, meditating on His words, we will find them to be spirit and life. That is to say, food and drink for our souls. It's a metaphor. Spirit and life, but it's like food and drink for our souls. In John 6:33, Jesus said, "The Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing." The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Psalm 119:105, that we sang about this morning, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night." That's why it's good to memorize scripture, because you don't always have your Bible with you, but you have it in here. David said, "I have hidden thy word in my heart, that I may not sin against you." You know, we not only need to get into the word, we need to get the word into us. And when it's there, we can start living it out, and we can remind ourselves of that word through our daily lives, whatever we may be doing, that word will be with us. And God can bring it to the forefront. When I got saved, I was 40 years old, like Moses. But God brought back to my mind scripture that I learned in catechism. And that's what He brought to the forefront of my mind. And I was sitting there, and I don't mind telling you, it's over 30 years ago, it's under the blood of Christ, but I was sitting in a county jail. Plenty of time to think about what I did with my life. And I said, you know, even as a kid, I always believed that the way I lived my life, you never know it. I lived my life in rebellion against God. And He's the one that gave me this gift of life. And using David's words, I said to myself, I was cut to the heart. I was broken. And that's just what I needed. I praise God for that. But He brought back to me, you know how it says God's word will not return to Him void? He brought back to me the scripture that I learned as an 8-year-old boy. And I started thinking about the cross. And I said, wait a minute. I felt this peace come over me as I repented of my sin. I said, what is this? Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive. What a light bulb that went on. And I tell you, I was on that pink cloud riding for a while. When I walked down the hallway, and I wasn't there maybe 30 days, I forget how long I was there, but when I walked down the hallway, the guards and everybody got out of the way because they didn't want to hear about Jesus. Whoa, here he comes! But I'll tell you, I was on fire for the Lord. And boy, did they go running. Praise the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. God's word will not return to him void. So we need to meditate on it and to stay in the scriptures, their spirit and their life. And he says to Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, listen to the promise now, you will be prosperous and successful. Okay? God has a reward in obedience. Always has a reward in obedience. And even if we don't get it this side of heaven, what a reward we will get on the other side if we stay faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, say that with me, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect. That is not perfect, but mature and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God will never call you something to do, that he won't equip you to do it. Amen? And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But B is private, fervent prayer. It brings God and us together. When we get into that clear prayer closet there and come to meet with God in private, fervent prayer. If we are to keep our walk with God, we must pray without ceasing. Now, after Paul had given us the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he closes up by saying, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Why does Paul exhort us to keep praying for the saints? Because who is the devil out? He's not after those that belong to him. He's trying to bring down the saints. And he can't take away your salvation, my friend. But he will try to ruin your testimony. He will try to keep you from being effective with God. But submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In Matthew 6:6, it says, and when you pray, you know, don't stand on the corner like the hypocrites and the Pharisees, but go into your prayer closet, your room, wherever that may be, and I hope you all have a place where you can go and have that quiet time with God. If not, make a place and find it and do it. And he says, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So, private, fervent prayer. And Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh, and we all know that, and we've experienced that, but greater is he that is in us, remember. So Jesus always got up early and went to commune with the Father. David talks about praying in the morning and praying at night. Brother Daniel there, our ancestor Daniel, it says that he prayed 3 times a day. And even when they told him not to pray, he did. And that's what sent him to the lion's den. But even in that act of obedience that he continued to worship and pray to God, God delivered him from the lion's den. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. You see, joy is different than happiness. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something from within you. And it says, be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning you. People say, well, I don't know the will of God. There's plenty of stuff in his word that says, this is the will of God. Start out by giving thanks, and then God will show you some more stuff. Amen? But walk in the way. Walk in the will of God. And then he says, in everything, give thanks. And why can we do this? And I've always tied these two together. I learned it from Charles Stanley. We can give thanks in every situation because of Romans 8:28. God's going to work it all out for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And be mindful of that. Weave those two scriptures together when it's hard to give thanks and the situation in your life is tough and times are just pretty hard. So, private, fervent prayer. C, service. We maintain our walk with God through service, through serving him. That's what we're called to do. Staying busy, that is not only doing the work of the Lord, but also as we're doing the work of the Lord, we can see where God is working. And when you can see where God is working, you can come alongside and help out. Amen? So God will show us these things. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, is going to help us with that part of service and encourage us to do so. Verse 9, verse 8. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Okay. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Where God guides, he provides. Ephesians 2:10, you probably all heard it. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has already has things that he has given you, the gifts and the talent and the treasure to accomplish for his glory and for the furtherance of the kingdom. And we need to seek him out and say, what is it, Lord? What, as was it the Apostle Paul said, what will thou have me to do? Send me, Isaiah said. And D, we maintain our walk with God through obedience. And James alluded to that. He said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And he gave a picture of a man who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. And what the picture is, what he's saying is, let's say you stand up, you look in the mirror, your hair's all messy, your face is dirty, and you don't do nothing about it. You walk away. He said, that's like reading the word, listening to the word, and not doing what it says. It's foolishness. But the person that looks into the word that gives perfect liberty or freedom and does what it says will be blessed in whatever he does. So, do not merely listen to it. Do what it says. Obedience. Amen. And believers must not look at God's commands as burdensome because God's going to help us. But they are, obedience is a conduit to God's blessing. You cannot be obedient to God and not be blessed. His promises won't allow that. He promises to bless you. Psalm 112, verse 1. And I'm bringing us in here. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And whatever is like a tree planted by streams of still water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. There's blessings in obedience. And then Jesus wants us to yoke up with him. And my brother prayed this in the office this morning with us. He's come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, a farmer takes an oxen, right? And if he wants to train a young oxen, he puts him with an old oxen who's older and experienced, and he teaches the young one how to pace himself and how to tread the grain. Well, when Jesus says, yoke up with me, he wants us to learn from him. And we go his pace. We don't get ahead of him. The young oxen don't get ahead of the old oxen because we're yoked. You don't get ahead of God, you don't fall behind him, but you walk alongside with him and yoke up with him. And God will help us to obey his commands. One of my favorite scriptures, John 14, verse 21, says, he or she who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. When you walk in obedience, God will show you more of himself. You will say, wow, that's awesome, God. And then you walk in obedience, and he'll show you other things. And it's a beautiful walk. Amen? Finally, E, and I'm bringing this in, fellowship. Fellowship. We do not work alone. Believers are to provoke one another unto good works. And that word provoke is a good word in this place, in this particular passage. Provoke one another to good works. Encourage one another in love and carry each other's burdens. We were never meant to go it alone. That's why God gave us the body. And if one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. If one is rejoicing, we rejoice with that person. And Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and by doing so, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What does that mean? That God has put brothers and sisters there for when times of trouble to come alongside of them. You don't have to go alone. And we need to be that person. We need to be that one. We don't always have to have the right words to say, but I'm here. I'm here to support you. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever I can do to help. A friend loves at all times. And a brother. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us consider, verses 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur. When you speak of a spur, you put a spur in a horse, it gets him going, right? Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not stop meeting together, right? As some are in the habit of doing. We have empty pews here this morning, and many churches have empty pews. Let us not stop meeting together or give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us come together and encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And we're a lot closer today than we were yesterday, and we'll be closer tomorrow than what. That day is approaching. We are in those times, church, and we need to stick together. We're all we got. Amen? All right, I'm concluding. Walking with God is honorable, it's pleasant, and it's profitable. You will find it to be so by experience more and more each day. The more you walk with God, the closer you will become to him, the more you will be like him, and you will experience this great feeling of walking with God. It's profitable. Like Enoch, let us strive to walk with God. The closer we walk with God, the more we will be prepared when he calls us to himself, whether by death or by his return in the rapture. And in the meantime, this is what God requires of us. Micah 6, verse 8, he requires us that we act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Walk humbly. Remember, you pray for that humility, and you pray for that humility, brother. Walk humbly with our God. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Are you walking with God this morning, this day? Amen? Did I hear an amen out there? If not, you need to get in step with the Holy Spirit. And John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Don't you want that light of life? And that's Christ. That light of life is Christ in you shining out to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I wrote a poem for you, and I wrote it a long time ago, but I'm going to recite it for you now. And it goes like this. Walk with me this day, O Lord, so I may see more clearly. For every time you walk with me, I look at life more dearly. Not in just the earthly sense, but your spiritual life, divine. Who could ask for anything better than to have a friend so fine? You walk with me and talk with me through all my times of sorrow. You taught me how to live today and not worry about tomorrow. You give me all your peace and love and tenderness to spare. You give me all your blessings that you share with those who care. What can I do? Someone so special, but to thank you for the giving and do my best to do your will, for it is for you